All right. We have now been joined by our NASCAR Rally Series Auto Parts race winner from this evening's race. Once we finally had the opportunity to get it underway, we've officially been joined by Brandon Jones. Brandon, an exciting race altogether, but a really exciting few last laps there. Tell us from your perspective what those final laps look like from the driver's seat.
Goodness, I'm telling you what, I it was interesting all night long. I thought our Supra was the best car on the long run, but not necessarily the best car on the short run. So kind of funny that it comes down to all these restarts, and that's how we ended up winning the thing, is basically off the short run. I was given pretty good feedback, I thought, all night long to, basically what the car was doing at the beginning of the runs versus what it was doing at the end of the runs. And I think just the way that all those cycles and everything played out played into our favor pretty well. Those restarts were very difficult tonight. There was both lanes, didn't matter which one I was in, had just so much wheel spin. And it was a battle of just getting to the lead somehow, some way. I think that was so crucial tonight, trying to place your car out front, because there was so many times that guys would, maybe be just slightly better than us on the short run and be just slightly better than us on those restarts and would build a big gap. But then by the, 5 to 10 laps in, I'm starting to click off a tenth and a half-ish per lap better than they were, right? So I was a little bit worried when the 54 earlier got the lead and got so far out when me and Chase were battling each other hard back and forth. I was like, man, I think he's out of reach at this point. I mean, I was at full push on the car trying to catch him and hopefully make a mistake. And he was backing up to me quite a bit. But I was thinking I was running out of time pretty quick. So typically, I'm not a guy that hopes and prays for those cautions like that at the end, because I just know our cars just, they're not quite there on these restarts. It is interesting that the JRM Chevy stuff is slightly better than us on the restarts, and I think a little bit of it is engine, but some of it's just they have a little bit better short run performance. Now our cars on the long run, there's nobody better, and there's nobody that's that can kind of come to what we've got there on that aspect. But some of these races come down to the restarts, and so that is a difficult part of when you can't quite fire off with the very best. It just takes a very long time to get back to them. So really cool, to be resilient all day and just continue to have the mindset and of being the aggressor all night long. It's something that I work very hard at. It's not typically something in my driving style. I'm very, I don't want to say conservative is the right word as a driver, but I'm just very methodical and don't put myself typically in bad situations. Some guys, they just kind of hope and pray and go, and then they realize, oh, wow, I'm in a bad spot all of a sudden, right? So sometimes that wins you races, but I try to do my races off of logic sometimes. So the short run is something that I've constantly been working and pushing hard to get better at. So it was cool to see it kind of come to, fruition tonight.
All right. We'll go ahead and go to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll work to get a mic to you, and we'll start up front with Matt.
Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. It seems like you and Sam have something. I mean, going back to last year and where you are and your experience level, and he is an engineer. Can you make a case now up to, I think, 6th in points that there's a pathway for you to be a legitimate championship threat this year?
Yeah, our goal here over the next few weeks is to get to 2nd. We were on our good path to get to 2nd, and then we went to those pesky road courses, and we had a couple of bad ones, right? And so we went from literally 4th all the way back to 8th. But I knew it was like, okay, everybody's basically just getting tighter all of a sudden, right? A couple of us are having some bad weeks through those races. And so it wasn't like guys were getting so much farther away. It was like we were just kind of all getting now bunched up a little bit tighter in the points. So we can still get to 2nd, and I think that's our goal. Justin's out of reach, I'm pretty sure, right, to get there. And so we're X-ing him out of it. We're going to wait till the chase starts to kind of tackle the 7 car a little bit. But we're definitely making a push at it here over the next few weeks to try to achieve that goal. Me and Sam work very, very long very close together, and we work long days together. I mean, this is not like a show up with him and just kind of wing it. I mean, we are every day, tons of simulation work. I'm basically the lead guy right now, trying to help this race team as the veteran of Joe Gibbs Racing, trying to give insight to these cars, and they've all got speed. I think Brent Cruz has shown a lot of speed. Our other two cars have got wins already. So they're doing all the right things, but it's probably nice for them. Not trying to, you know, be cocky, but I think it's just the time here that I've spent in the series trying to really dissect these cars about what are we missing just a little bit. I mean, it seems like JRM's constantly winning these races, right? It seems like that they're the ones on the high. So we're just trying to close that gap a little bit. And truthfully, I've had, and I don't even remember which ones they are, but I've had four or five races this year that were winning capable, but we just didn't capitalize on them. You know, we may have had pit road penalties, or we may have had incidents that I did that took us out of contention, but we've had race cars capable of winning the races. So, you know, I'm not surprised that we finally found it tonight. We put everything together here this weekend and did a really good job. And, you know, I did my part as the studier of the sport and trying to just continue to find my weaknesses. That's all I do during the week is what can I constantly do to get better? What can I do inside the race car to make it better? And, you know, that was it was fun tonight because this was a track that you had to be very, I guess, mentally on it, right, to search around, find the grip. I was glued to that kind of diamond line like I like to run at Kansas, but I started having to move off of that later in the race as the balance changed. So I had to find grip and do different things there, too, to go get that. So this was a true, like, team effort. I mean, everybody on pit road did their job. They're really good on pit road, right? Our guys are really fast. But then I had to be the aggressor tonight, and I had to get out of my comfort zone a little bit and fight hard for it.
To your point about the races that get away or the races you close out on, there's a trend on your wins. We call them grip-limited racetracks, right, like the Darlingtons and Kansas and Chicagoland. What right now is preventing you think, from translating that success on the grip-limited racetracks to more of the overall schedule that would truly make you a fully well-rounded championship threat?
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, it does seem like right now it takes the right circumstances or right, you know, weather conditions and racetrack type and everything. I think that we just need to execute the days. I think if we have days like this where I'm very much on it, right? I'm very aggressive on the racetrack. I'm not letting guys have spots and hoping I'll get them back later. I'm fighting for every single position. But then we're having really good, well-executed pit stops. We're making great adjustments all night long. It's got to trend that way every single race. I think that's where you see the 7 car be so good, is that they just don't mess up very much, and they take advantage of the guys that do mess up, right? And so it all it takes is one slip right now. I mean, we've got a lot of really competitive racers in the O'Reilly series, in my opinion, and every time you make a mistake, you just can't recover from it. I mean, there's multiple tonight that you saw that the one car take it, for example. You're running out of gas, and you never saw him for the rest of the night up there. I mean, he never got back to the front, but he leads the whole first stage or whatever and is super fast, right? So one little thing like that, one little miscalculation, one thing that you do wrong that takes you out, you're done. I mean, you can salvage a top 10 out of it, which we've done at a lot of these races. But to go win with mistakes, it's almost impossible currently.
All right, we'll go to Tim.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Day. You mentioned earlier the goal and so on of what you want to get towards the end of the regular season, but realistically at the end of this race, at least I think the number is 41, at least from third. So over the stretch of the next four races, do you think that's at least realistic to get to?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do, because some of these tracks that we're going to, right, you think of Atlanta coming up. It hasn't been the strongest racetrack for us as a company, but we've had a lot of good shots at it, I think, too, with the right circumstances. And I know our guys are not settling for second. They've gone to work over the last few weeks and trying to figure out, you know, what the heck can we do to just make these, I guess, draft pack style tracks just a little bit better. So their aero department's going to work super hard. They're trying to exploit every little part on that race car right now and seeing how we can just get a little bit better at those tracks. So absolutely. I mean, I think that there's so much opportunity for people to you know, have misfortune and get wrecked out of these places. And you take advantage of that. You keep track of the guys you're racing, you know, throughout the day and see what's happening to their race. And then that kind of dictates how you do things, right? So Indy was a great one for us. Iowa, I mean, these are all really good racetracks that are coming up. So we just need to continue to have this mindset that we took today of just being confident in the room, being confident at the track, I know our guys are, and I know they're capable of this on a larger scale, right? And so sometimes it just takes a little long to get out of that rut. You know, there's some guys that will certainly have a great beginning season, but they'll start to taper off at the end of the year. It's interesting how that kind of ebbs and flows a little bit throughout the year. So I think that this will be, you know, a lot of confidence behind them. They saw how hard I worked. They saw how much I laid it out there to try to get this tonight. So that just feeds their fuel a little bit more. And we're already crazy hard workers, so it'll just make them dive into it even harder.
And I talked to a lot of guys post-race, and they mentioned that they were really surprised how on edge things kind of got quickly on restarts. From your perspective, how on edge was it, especially when guys got tight to your back end?
Yeah, early on in the race, I actually expected, not to take anything away from the field, but being 29th, I mean, our cars are capable, or it's obviously capable of winning the race, right? So I had expected to drive up to the, not the front, but I expected to drive up through the field a little bit quicker than I was able to. And to your point, I was super on edge to start this race. Maybe some of it had to do with the temperature tonight. You know, we certainly weren't planning on doing a night race like we did tonight. So maybe some of that had to do with that a little bit. But I'm not, you know, I'm not too sure. I think that a lot of it has to do with you're sitting in 29th place and you've just got loads and loads of turbulent air crossing your car. And so it's just making it feel, it's giving you false feels, basically. It's feeling like it is going to slide and get loose and you're going to wreck. But the further you continue to get to the front, I'll give you a great example. The very first restart of the race, full lift, brake pressure into turn one. And then when I got to the lead, wide open, never touched the brake pedal. So that's just, sure, we made gains on our car throughout the night, but that's just how crazy it is once you get to the front and how much easier it is when you get to the front to be able to make moves like that. So, yeah, once I got to that top three group of guys, wasn't that bad. It was more so like you just had to drive super hard. And you know, that last one that I had with Chase, I was like, I'm not lifting. Like, I am just not going to lift. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come of it. But Chase was, I mean, he was doing all the right things, but he was using me up hard too. There was a lot of times that he had a couple of big moments where he would just throttle up to the center and almost like, you know, basically asked me to hit him in the right rear or lift a little bit. So I was like, okay, I mean, we're gonna run super hard for this. And so I did kind of the opposite, you know, I was going in the corner and tried to play chicken with him a little bit, I guess, and it paid off. I was glad my car stuck there.
All right, go ahead.
Ryan Kemner, the Racing Experts. Brandon, this is the first time since 2019, 2020 that you have chained together winning seasons. How does it feel to get back on the board in back-to-back seasons?
Yeah, I love the group that I'm with. I think that's a lot of it. I mean, the team that's behind me, we all work collectively to make me better, and it's so much fun to have that support group. And we continue just to grow our driver development program. I know you guys have heard us mention Blake Cook and Trevor Bain. We continue just to make that program better over there too, as far as the driver development side goes. So I'm leaning on them a bunch. We're utilizing everything that we possibly can right now. We're even using iRacing for passing drills and restart drills. We're utilizing the Toyota sim for our at-track stuff and the things that we want to work on with the car itself. And we're doing it, I mean, Monday through Wednesday. And then, you know, Thursday is kind of an off day, and then we're traveling Friday. And so there's not much free time currently, but it makes these wins that much better because you just know how much time you're putting into this, how many hours you're putting into it. And I think as a veteran of the sport, you know, I look at Denny, for example. I mean, he is one of the best studiers, I think, that the Cup Series currently has. And so, you know, I don't know what he looks at, and I don't know all the things that he does, but I try to model that mindset a little bit off of that. Is the young guys are fearless. They hang their cars out a bunch. They're going to put themselves in very tricky situations. And so I've got to now kind of jump back on the horse here a little bit and say, what can I do to maybe outsmart them, or what can I do to be just a little bit better? And it's all about building all the little tools in your toolbox inside that race car, because there's not many things that you can do, right? I mean, you've got two pedals and a steering wheel, and that's about it. Maybe some brake bias at times, but that is the only thing that you have inside that car to change. That's the cool thing about, I think, NASCAR racing. They're very old school, right? They're not a modern sports car. You don't have all the different things that you can do. So it's all driver technique, and it's all the way that you're getting in the corners. And so that's all I'm doing all during the week. I'm just constantly practicing all these little things. So when I get here, I can remember and I can rely on that and say, oh, I remember I was doing this in the simulator, or I had learned this off of somebody else's SMT data or something, and try to utilize it. I think that's the next hard part of that is, sure, you can see what they're doing, but putting it into practice and making it your own, that's another thing. So it's something that's taken a long time to figure out how to do.
Got a question on this set? Okay, and then we'll come back to Steven.
Okay. Mitchell Brewer, Black Hat Sports. Brandon, what does it mean to get a 4th of July win on your resume?
Yeah, that's special. I mean, I thought it was a long shot, but I love this nation. I love our military, and so I thought the Coronado thing was so awesome, and I'm like, it's probably out of reach, but I really wanted to win that race just for the cool factor and for the military factor of it. But, I will take this one over that one, I think, right? I mean, this one helped pay off for how painful that went for us, I think, throughout the day. Because, yeah, just really, really cool. The pit crew guy said that I was doing my last little burnout with, like, 8 seconds left of the day, like, to kind of capitalize on July 4th. It means a lot, man. It really does. I think that I definitely believe this is the greatest nation on the earth, and it's so cool to be able to celebrate 250 with a dub like this.
All right, Steven, go ahead.
Steven Stump, Frontiers.com. Brandon, you started 29th today, which is the lowest starting spot for a winner in a O'Reilly Chicagoland race since 2004. With all the talk coming in today about, you know, how many lanes, how many grooves would there be, what would the raceability of the track be like, what was the process of driving through the field and making passes in general? Was it easier than you thought it would be?
It was actually a lot harder than I thought it would be. I mentioned earlier that turbulent air from being back there, but that's truly what made it. I was like, man, my aero balance is just not there tonight. You know, it was so difficult that far back to get going. I mean, I was legitimately stuck in 29th for a couple laps until it started to single out a little bit and the groove started to move around some and I could get out of people's wakes a little bit. But when it was early on in the race and I had to, you know, basically run the bottom, that was the preferred lane, man, my car just did not like it at all. And I was, not that I was worried, but I'm like, ooh, this is a little different than I felt here all weekend. So, it was pretty difficult. It really was. And even though the racetrack moved around and even though the lanes came in, it still kind of would refire towards the bottom of the track, right? So you would go up there on sticker tires to that middle or in third lane, but at that point you're just adding distance to the racetrack, right? You're allowing them to run a shorter radius and they have more grip down there. So it just so difficult on those stickers to maneuver the car a little bit. But what I do enjoy about multi-groove racing like this is once a tire does wear out, that's where you start getting these lanes to kick in, and you got to get creative of, you know, utilizing the seams, utilizing those patches everywhere on the racetrack and trying to get creative of how you make lap time. But it makes a short run not as easy, I guess. You know, I mean, it was tough to get going up there. But kind of typical 20-team fashion, I think that we did a really good job today of like, I just keep saying it, but executing the day, right, of not panicking back there. We kind of got by a couple guys. We finally got into a rhythm. We made great changes on the car. We had really good pit stops that allowed us to keep passing guys. So that's really the key to those races like that is don't get in a hurry early on and put yourself in a situation to tear up a car, because it was obviously, you know, capable of winning tonight. So that would have been really bad right on my end if I would have gotten really, you know, impatient tonight early on in the race and put myself in a situation to get wrecked with a car that was capable of winning. So I had to keep that in the back of my mind. I knew we had a great practice session earlier in the day, so I was like, let's just not put ourselves in a situation to do that. Let's rely on pit crew and rely on some guys to fall out a little bit here. And we just did a great job of steadily climbing all night long. And the guys never had a mistake. They continued, honestly, to get better, I think, throughout the night as far as our pit stops went. So, yeah, we found ourselves being the most consistent of the bunch, I think, to get track position. But it was certainly not easy. You know, at times it was a little disconcerting at times, because it was like, man, I don't know if we can get up there, right, with the balance that we've got. But, it was certainly really, really, really well executed on all halves.
All right, we'll take one final question here.
Okay, Adam Rilkin, the racing experts. Brandon, a big topic that's been coming up all year regarding schedule is the possibility of returning to the Chicago Street Race. After racing tonight and winning the race here at Chicagoland, would you still be open to going back to the Chicago Street Race, or potentially racing both here and there in the same year?
I would hate to see we lose this racetrack over the street course. It's just not my style of racing, right? I think it does put on a great show. I think it is exciting to watch. The last race that we had there was certainly by far our best, but it's taken a long time to figure out these road courses. It's certainly a street course of all things. I would not want to see the two of them swap, but I think to your point, it'd be cool to maybe do both, or maybe in the future see all of these street courses have their time that they come and go, right? Of one year we'll do Chicago, maybe one year you do the San Diego course and you keep flopping them. You know, I think that would be a unique scenario to do. I'm not a lobbyist typically for the road courses over ovals. I'm an oval racer at heart, so it's a task that I've certainly challenged myself to get better at and put a lot of effort into it, but it's just tough. You can't test. You can't take these cars anywhere. You can't go practice them. So it's hard to get better at that craft whenever, you know, you're relying on basically computers to teach you.
And one more final thought. Once you got to start finish line following burnout, I noticed you did the bow in honor of Kyle Busch. Like, talk a little bit about paying tribute to Kyle with that.
Yeah, I think about the last race we had here, right? I mean, it was the Kyle show, and it was an epic battle between all of them, right? So it was, I think that he meant a lot to this racetrack. He did a lot of really cool things, and I, you know, you guys know, but I raced for Kyle at his truck team and got my first truck series win there. So I was, you know, I don't want to say I was just best friends with KB, but I was certainly close with him. I'd got to know him really well. I'd sat in multiple meetings with him as far as our competition meetings go and learned a lot off of him. I do a lot of things on pit road that no one's ever heard of because of Kyle as far as how I work my feet and different things. So he was someone that I leaned on for questions, for off-the-wall questions, for the really hard-to-answer questions. I would always go to Kyle for those difficult ones, you know. So, yeah, it was really, really cool to be able to do that.
All right, thank you, Brandon.
Congratulations again on that win. I know you'll enjoy this one, and best of luck next week.
Thank you, guys.